Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Kenneth Cruzan is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Ken is a member of our Brain Trust. He's somebody that I was telling you about long before we had him on the show, because I found some of his research. I subscribed to some of the outstanding work that he was doing, and everywhere I go and make a speech, I use something that Ken proposed in terms of our intellectual property journey, the direction that we're going in, and I've benefited from it immensely, and I hope my audiences have. Kenneth is a partner with Foley and Lardner in Washington, D.C. He's an intellectual property attorney, and he's our friend. Ken, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Doing great. It's good to have you back, as always. One of the things I know you want to talk about today is a recent ruling by the Supreme Court, that you believe is going to make the world a little tougher place to live for inventors. Tell us about that.
Okay, Jim. A couple of months ago, the U.S. Supreme Court came down with a decision in a case called KSR versus Teleflex, and this case was directed to or involved a bedrock principle of a patent law called obviousness. In order to get a patent on an invention, you have to satisfy a couple requirements. First, the invention has to be new, which everybody knows, but there's a second hurdle that you have to overcome, and that is that the invention has to be not obvious or non-obvious in order to get a patent. And for the past 25 years or so, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit in Washington, D.C., has developed a principle that was used to determine when an invention was obvious or not obvious. That test had been widely accepted by the members of the profession, by the inventing community, and was reasonably easy to apply because it was an objective test. And
Kenneth, stop for a moment.
Sure.
Explain to the audience the importance of the word obvious in what you do.
Okay. Well, let me put it this way. I'll give you an example. Okay. Suppose that you come up with something like a post-it notes. All right, post-it notes. Now, mm-hmm. Post-it notes is an invention where you're taking basically a very bad type of glue that doesn't hold very well, and you apply it to a piece of paper, and the glue is certainly pretty well known because it's been around a long time.
They're both obvious, aren't they?
They're both obvious, but you put the two of them together, and voila, you have this invention. It's something that's unique,
mm-hmm.
and it's not obvious to basically make this combination. And when you do it, you have something that's really useful and been applied by a lot of people. We all know post-it notes. So obviousness is something that has to be used in determining whether an invention is patentable.
It's part of the testing of an invention, isn't it?
It's part of the testing, and it's really used in almost every application that's filed with the United States Patent Office, and there are hundreds of thousands of applications, and patent examiners look to see whether an invention is obvious. And
mm-hmm.
The statute, in the patent statute, there's a specific test or language which says that the invention must not be obvious to a person of ordinary skill
right.
in the art in order to get a patent on the invention. And the way that that the Federal Circuit has developed this obviousness test over the last 25 years or so has been to come out with what is called the T, as in Tom, S-M test, which is teaching, suggestion, or motivation, teaching, suggestion, or motivation. And it had been applied by practitioners, by the Patent Office, and was pretty well accepted. Well, the Supreme Court in this KSR case said that the TSM test should not be the only test that should be applied. Mm-hmm. But instead kind of opened up the ball field to determining whether or not inventions are obvious to persons of ordinary skill in the art. And the problem is that by opening this test up, the court made it, in my view, much easier to defeat inventions from becoming from getting patents, or made
Ken,
it more difficult.
Hold on to that thought right there. We're going to come back with these after these messages, folks. Plug right back in, and we'll circle all this around and apply it to our small businesses directly right after these messages. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's the one where you can find the show, where you can find all the different ways you can listen to the show and actually take possession. We'll give you fair use of our show by allowing you to download it and podcast it and burn it onto a CD and carry it around with you. Put it in your car if you want to. And also, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Check out our blog, which we update every weekday. Lots of other stuff there. And, of course, our knowledge base, AskJim.biz, is where you can get small business answers now. And so check it out. Ask your business question there, and you'll get lots of answers and more to come. Ken Crozen is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's a partner in the law firm of Foley & Lardner in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and he's here to talk to us about what he believes is a significant case that the Supreme Court handed down in ruling against the Federal Circuit, which handles all patent appeals at the federal level. And it's a case involving a company called KSR and Teleflex. And what you were telling us, Ken, is that there's been a typical test for obviousness that the circuit has used for the last 25 years, and the Supreme Court said that basically that wasn't enough. Is that correct?
Right, and you know the particulars of the test are probably not that significant. The significant thing is the following, Jim. What the Supreme Court did is it made it easier to attack existing patents and more difficult to get new patents, because it basically lowered the standard for showing that an invention is obvious. Now,
which makes an invention that you might create less valuable.
That's right, and here's the problem, and I can tell you this based upon my long experience in this profession. Prior to the creation of the Federal Circuit, which was in October of 1982, patents were under attack, and around the country, the courts of appeals had held many patents invalid. The statistics, I think, were something like two-thirds of all patents that were litigated were found to be obvious. Because of that, there was a reluctance by people, corporations, etc., to invest in new research and development, because if they did so, their inventions could be more easily challenged, their patents could be more easily challenged.
Why spend millions of dollars developing things if some shade tree guy could rip it off in the first 6 months?
That's exactly the problem. You hit the nail right on the head. So you got this system back in the 70s, which made it easy to attack patents, all right? And that discouraged innovation. It discouraged investment in innovation. Now, in 1982, Congress had the foresight to create this brand new court, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit, which handled these patent appeals from all around the country. They took those cases away from the regional circuits like the Ninth Circuit and so on.
To create some level of consistency.
That's right. And when they did that, the court was recognized as very pro-patent, and the court created this test for obviousness, which made it much more difficult to challenge patents on the basis of obviousness. All right. Now, what that did was it stimulated the innovation. The number of patent applications following the creation of the Federal Circuit went way up, and it's been going up. Now, what has happened?
And as consumers and as small business owners, we benefited from that directly and indirectly.
Exactly. And
directly meaning as consumers. And indirectly, I should say, maybe as consumers, indirectly, those of us who create intellectual property in that way as well.
Right. You want this country to be investing in innovation.
It's the only way we're going to be competitive in the future. We can't manufacture our way into success in the 21st century.
That's exactly right. So now what the Supreme Court has done, in my view, again, is to pull the plug on this and, in my view, to go back to the bad old days prior to the creation of the Federal Circuit,
right?
Because it's going to be much more difficult to sustain these patents. And over time, it won't be immediate, but over time, companies and individuals will be less willing to invest in innovation. And that's the problem.
Now, what was the ruling? What was the count? What was the vote?
It was a 9-0 vote.
9-0.
Yes.
Wow.
One of the interesting things was that it took the Supreme Court a long time to come out with a decision in the KSR case, months and months and months beyond people would normally expect to have gotten from the Supreme Court on a patent case. And there's been a lot of speculation as to why it took so long. Again, in my view, one of the reasons was that the court was trying to gather up all the votes to get a unanimous decision. I might be totally wrong on that.
I can't remember when they had a unanimous decision on anything significant.
Right. Well, the bottom line, though, again, is that it's going to, over the long term, undermine the patent system, in my view, by making it more easy to challenge patents, more easy to prevent inventions from becoming patented, and that will discourage investment in innovation, mm-hmm. and that is just bad for this country.
Well, it's horrible from the standpoint of where we have to, what we have to do in the 21st century to be competitive, and we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask Ken, what, if anything, can be done about this, and how do we have to reload in the marketplace to get around this and still be competitive in the 21st century? We'll talk about that with our good friend Ken Croson right after these messages. It's 10 Till. Here's the Godfather of Soul to take us out, the late, great James Brown.
I feel nice, the sugar runs fine. I feel nice.
We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Kenneth E. Croson, ladies and gentlemen. And I pronounce it like it's a Z, but it's really an S. And K-R-O-S-I-N if you're Googling him. And by the way, if you Google Ken, you're going to find probably on the first page where I've written about him and some of the things that he's done. Ken, I don't know if you've ever done that before, but if you type your name in, at least I think on page one or two, there's some references that I've made to you and some of the work that you've done. I want to thank you for some of the groundbreaking work that you've done in the area of intellectual property over the years.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate that.
It's been very beneficial to me and to help me. It's helped me immensely to help get small business owners' heads into the 21st century, talking about and thinking about and working on intellectual property and what we've got, the kinds of things we have to leverage in the 21st century, which brings me back to your point, the things we've been talking about with Ken today, folks, this Supreme Court ruling. Ken, the United States is only going to be competitive in the 21st century through innovation. We're not going to be competitive by making things. We're going to have to be competitive through innovation, and we've got to be able to protect those innovations.
That's exactly
right, Jim. And when the Supreme Court, our own Supreme Court, weakens our ability to protect our innovations internally, how can we then expect to go protect ourselves in China?
Well, that's exactly the problem, and that's what, in my view, again, is the problem with this decision that the Supreme Court rendered a couple months ago in the KSR case. And, you know, I think that one of the problems here is that you really have to have the prospective, or the perspective, rather, of time. You have to be able to go back and understand how the patent system has had its ups and downs over the past 30, 40, 50 years to really understand what the effect of this ruling is.
Well, you believe that there's long-term harm that's been done. Is there any appeal? Is there any is there any way? Is the die cast on this forever? What can be done?
Well, here's the way I see it playing out. I think that it's going to take several years for this decision to kind of filter down through the courts, and then once it filters through the courts, the investment community, the innovation community, the small businesses, large businesses, you name it, are going to realize what adverse effects have occurred in the system. At that point, Congress is going to have to step in and change the law. Congress has the ability to come up with new laws. For example, Congress could legislate this TSM test that I mentioned a few minutes ago. They could legislate that right into the statute if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to happen overnight, because everybody wants to kind of sit back and see how this decision is going to affect the patenting of inventions and,
you know,
the obviousness of inventions.
What concerns me, Ken, is one of the great competitive edges that we've had in the United States is our outstanding capital markets and our ability to fund corporations, fund businesses, to fund innovation. And Sarbanes-Oxley kicked that in the teeth a couple of years ago. And so now we're seeing the impact of that with companies going overseas to find their capital and to do their IPOs. So that's one negative in our ability to be competitive. And now you're bringing this new case to us, this ruling by the Supreme Court, in terms of the innovation getting a kick in the teeth, American innovation getting a kick in the teeth. So I wonder, you know, those two things alone are worrying me about our ability to be competitive globally. What do you think?
I agree with you completely. Again, it's going to take time for this opinion to sink in. It's going to take time for it to affect the investment in innovation. But that's my prediction, that next 5-6 years. And the problem is that once that happens, it's going to be very, very difficult to kind of reverse the trend.
It's going to be too late by then, isn't it? I mean, are there other people? Are there people in Congress who are aware of this, who are becoming a little indignant about it, or are they just asleep at the wheel?
I don't know the answer to that. I have not seen commentary from anybody on the Hill. I have seen a lot of commentary from people in the profession who have been very critical of this decision, and I've seen commentary from some people who have thought that it's going to adversely affect the system. I can't say that I've seen anybody yet in the press who has expressed the views that I have, that over the long term it's going to affect investment and innovation, but it will.
Ken, give us your website, please.
My website is www.foley.com, and my email is kcrozen@foley.com. F-O-L-E-Y.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next time. Ken Crozen, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.